Tayo po ay papatuloy sa ating sermon series sa Book of Genesis, The Story of Beginnings. Nakita po natin sa Genesis chapter 1, ang glorious work ng Diyos in creation. He created everything within 6 days. And on the 7th day, God ceased creating or He stopped. Tapos po niyan, nasaksihan naman natin na nagkaroon po ng special relationship ng Panginoon and special fellowship sa nilikha ng tao. There was a good and special relationship between God at saka ng man at ng kanyang wife. Tapos isang trahedya naman ang nakita natin sa chapter 3 na kung saan nabuwag itong perfect fellowship, itong perfect relationship na meron ng Panginoon sa tao, which is nakakalungkot po yung napag-aralan natin last week. At ang kahinan po nito, nadamay po ang buong sangkatauhan at ang buong mundo sa pagbagsak sa kasalanan. Ngayong gabi naman po, sasaksihan naman po natin ang kalagdagang epekto na naidulot po ng kasalanan sa pamilya ni Adam at sa sangkatauhan. The pronouncement of the curse mentioned sa Genesis chapter 2 verse 17 echoes throughout the fallen world. At ano yung sinasabi nito? In the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now slavery to sin and death is everywhere and will continue to see the expanding sa created world. Sin only brings, not only brings misery sa tao na nagawa ng kasalanan, sin also brings misery sa lahat ng mga relationship na meron siya. I pray in the end of the night, as we look at the passage, we would see the sorrow that sin produces. That we would hate it, that we would turn away from sin. And the hope that we have in God, who provides and extends his patience, mercy, and grace to those who will humble themselves before him. God's mercy is greater than sin's misery. God's mercy is greater than sin's misery. Sin affected man's worship, mortality, immorality, and immortality. That's why we have divided the passage into those three headings. Number one, worship is distorted. Chapter 4, verse 1 to 7. Number two, morality is declining. Verses 8 to 24 in chapter 4. And number three, mortality is deadened. Chapter 5, the whole chapter. Number one, worship is distorted, corrupted. Tingnan po natin ang verse 22. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain was a worker of the ground. Now sabi dun sa verse 1, and Adam knew his wife Eve. Ano yung sabihin po na ito? Talagang namang kakilala sila. Yes, of course, talagang kakilala sila. Hindi lang nakalimahali mo si Adam, biglang naalala, ah, mabla, ikaw si Eve, makakasawa. Because hindi po yun ang kahulugan. Ang ibig sabihin po ng Adam knew his wife Eve, nagkaroon po sila ng sexual na union. At nagbunga ito ng dalawang anak na lalaki. Ang panganay ay si Cain, or Cain, at ang pangalawa naman ay si Abel, or Abel. Maring yung inakala ni Eve na si Cain, yung tinatawag na promised seed, na nabanggit ko sa Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, the promised seed na inaasahan niya who will defeat Satan, who will restore them back sa presence ng Panginoon. That's why she named Cain. But we all know, and she knows, later on, na mali siya. Hindi ito yung promised seed. Ngunit nakikita natin dito na umaasa at nagtitiwala si Eve na tutugunin ng Diyos o tutugunin ni Yahweh yung pinangako niya sa kanya o sa sangkatauhan. So I think this is a glimpse na kung saan yung faith ni Adam and Eve lie. They are trusting sa promises, sa promise ng Panginoon. Sa verse 2, nilalaman ang trabaho ng pagkapatid. Si Cain or Cain ay isang magsasaka at si Abel naman ay isang pastol or isang shepherd. Hindi ang kanilang trabaho ang nagdulot ng kanilang alitan, hindi po yun ang dahilan. Ang katotohanan na ibinigay ng salita ng Diyos ang naging dahilan kung bakit po sila nagkaroon ng alitan. Tignan niyo po yung verses 3 hanggang 5. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock, and their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. So this is a worship gathering. At ang dala, si Cain at si Abel, o si Abel, ng mga offerings nila. Magkaiba ang naging worship experience ng magkapatid na ito, kasi yung isa, tinanggap ang offering, yung isa, nireject ang offering. At alam naman natin na yung offering ni Cain ang nireject. So marahil, ang tanong na pumapasok sa isipan natin, bakit? Why did God reject yung offering ni Cain? Well, some say because Abel brought a blood offering and si Cain hindi, dala lang ng mga gulay at prutas. Pero wala naman po sa passages na inaral po natin na ang blood ay ang acceptable sacrifice ng time na yon. Or at least sa time period na yon. At sa Exodus sa Mosaico naman, may mga grain offerings din na nabanggit na kung saan katanggap-tanggap naman sa Panginoon. So hindi po yun ang basihan. So walang eksaktong dahilan na nabanggit sa passage, ngunit meron tayong mga hints na pwedeng makita throughout sa mga verses na ating babasahin o binasa. So ang keywords po dito ay makikita sa verse 4. Una, firstborn. Second, fat portions. Yun yung dalawa po na pwede natin pantasihan. Bakit po? Because Abel has given the best of his flock. He went out of his way in order to please God, in order to worship God. At si Cain naman walang nabanggit na he gave his best crops. He did not give his first harvest. Wala po tayong makita nandun. Basta sinabi na lang, and Cain brought his offering. Of course, we can safely assume that it was not given out of worship. It was not given na may parehong magnitude na parehong kay Edo. Ang kaligan ng kanilang mga offerings ay nagbunyag ng estado ng kanilang mga puso. So the problem wasn't the kind of offering, but rather the heart of the person making the offering that made it unacceptable and acceptable. Ang point po dito, Cain wasn't offering in faith. Hindi ho katulad ni Abel. He was not giving in faith. Kasi Abel gave in faith. At makikita po natin na sa New Testament, sa Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. Sabi dyan, by faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. Abel gave his best. Kahit hindi niya alam kung magkakaroon pa ba siya, magkakaroon po siya na uli ng mga bagong silang sa kanyang flock. So he did not know, alam mo, nalagam mo ito, ito yung kauna-unahan na lumabas. So ibibili ko kagad ito, mukhang maganda ito, mataba, ibibili ko sa Panginoon. Something na kung saan he really spent time and sacrifice because he gave in faith. He trusted the Lord. Alam niya na wala siyang karapatan na lumapit sa Diyos at wala siyang kaya ipagmalaki na nagawa, walang kaya ipagmalaki na nakaloob sa harapan ng Diyos. No. He came to God because he believed the promise that one day God will provide an offspring to redeem them, and that's why he gave in faith. Si Cain naman. Si Cain naman, though nagbigay siya ng kanyang kaloob, he thought that he worshipped God na kung saan na matutuwa ang Panginoon sa kanyang bigay. He's thinking, I'm doing God a favor sa pagbigay ko sa kanya nito. Kaya nung nireject ng Diyos ang kanyang offering, na-reveal to rin talaga kung ano yung estado ng kanyang puso. That's why it was described that he was very angry. He was very angry. His prideful, violent, hostile response sa Panginoon, question God's judgment. Kini-question niya ang judgment ng Panginoon. Lord, dapat ba kaya ka sa mga inaaray ko sa iyo eh? I should be commended. Ako dapat, yung mga sakit, yung mga offering o sacrifice na dapat natagabit, akin, ako ang firstborn. Yung mga yan, galing sa lupa yan. Eh bakit yun naman? And from there, he starts to question God. So there was a heart of arrogance and boastfulness. It's not the kind of offering ng problema, but the heart of the person making the offering. Friends, God is not concerned about the external acts of worship na ginagawa po natin. Our sin can quickly turn acts of worship into acts of self-righteousness. Ganun po kung gano'n kasama ang ating puso. Abel offered his sacrifice out of delight, out to please God. But Cain saw yung mga kanyang efforts as something na kung saan responsibilidad lang niya. It's not out of delight, it's out of duty. A burden, an opportunity to be commended. An opportunity to be honored by God. But of course, sabihin naman natin dito, hindi nangyari yun, kaya galit siya. Mga kaibigan, lahat tayo ay may puso na pareho ni Cain. We are guilty of worshiping God with a wrong heart. We are guilty of not worshiping in faith. Friends, do we worship God by raising our voices in praise on Thursdays, but hide our faces from God on work days? Do we love to talk about theology, soteriology, eschatology, but never bother to talk and spend time with the family? When serving and giving to the Lord, do we make sure He gets the glory? Or have we become skilled hypocrites who masterfully masquerade our worship for our glory? We are skillful glory thieves. We even convince ourselves that we're doing it for God, but it's not for us. What are your actions reveal about your devotion to God? Does your worship look like Abel's, or does it look like Cain's? Cain worshiped with an evil intent. But look how God responded to Cain. He responded with mercy. He responded with mercy. Look at verse 6. Look at 7. Why are you angry? And why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? Kahit nagre-rebelde ang puso ni Cain, God was merciful to him. God appealed to Cain. He was appealing, Cain, what could you do? Cain, repent. Go back. Huwag ka manatili dyan sa ganyang puso niya. Cain has an envious heart. God knows it. That's why God warns him na kung itutuloy niya yung ganyang klaseng puso na may pag-inggit or coveting, sin will rule over him at lalamunin siya ng kasalanan na yan. So friends, sabi nyo sa verse 7, and if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it. Sabi nyo ibang translation, you must master it. Mga kaibigan, mag-ingat po tayo sa sin of envy. Mag-ingat tayo sa kasalanan ng inggit. Inggitero ka ba? Inggitero ka ba? Parang mas matalim, no? Why? If we define success sa ating buhay by comparing it to others, we will never find satisfaction. We will never find rest. Bumili siya lang, bibili lang ako na. Ganun ang ginawa niya, binili niya para, hindi na nabiliin ko. Ganun ang pinuntahan niya, hindi na pupunta ako. And sometimes we will really go out of our way, kahit nagkakasala na tayo, just to have that very thing na kung sa kinaiibitan mo sa kapitbahay mo, sa kapatid mo, sa kasamahan mo sa trabaho, sa asawa mo, sa kapatid mo, sa kapatiran mo dito sa church. How do you feel if a brother or sister is recognized in the ministry that ikaw din? How do you respond if the people sa inyong office or school or home gets more attention or opportunities than we do? How would you respond to that? Ang paggawa mo ng mabuti can make, even ang paggawa natin ng mga mabubuting bagay can be about us. At hindi talaga sa Panginoon. Akala natin, ginagawa natin ang lahat ng mga mabubuting bagay para sa paglilingkod natin sa Panginoon, para sa kapapurihan natin sa Panginoon, pero ang tutupunan, ang motibo po natin ay pinaglilingkuran talaga natin ang ating mga sarili. Sin has distorted our worship. Pero hindi lang yan. Sukat number two, pati ating morality. Morality now is declining. Hindi pinakinggan ni Abel ang payo at mabala ng Panginoon sa kanya. Kung saan hangarin sa kanyang puso, he allowed sin to take control, and because of that, he murdered his brother. At pinatay niya. He meditated on him. Wala, nagsimula ko yan sa ano? Sa inggit. From inggit, nagkagalit. From galit, bitterness, nagmaasin siguro siya sa kapatid niya. From there, nagkaroon na ng premeditated murder. And nung nagkaroon ng perfect opportunity sa field, walang tao, walang nakatingin, wala si nanay at si tatay, doon na pinaslap ang kanyang kapatid. Noong time na yun, walang baril, walang kutsilyo, hindi natin alam kung anong klase ka pamamaraanan ng pagpatay niya sa kanyang kapatid, pero nakakalugod po ito. Look at verse 8. Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Dalawa na nga lang sila magkapatid. Here's what's interesting. Ang unang kamatayan na nagalang after the world had fallen ay hindi death by old age, but death by murder. That's why siguro sinali mo sa nasarap ni Jesus Christ yung galit at saka yung murder, pinagsisimula rin sa galit. Eventually, when you're angry, you premeditate evil things. Ibang tao. Dahan-dahan na natin nasasaksihan dito sa part ng Genesis na nasasakatuparan na ang sumpa ng Diyos. Again, I echo. And the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Imbis na dominated ni Cain ang kasalanan, dinominate siya. It took control, it grabbed his heart. Got his attention, grabbed his heart, now is going to actions. Kita nyo kapag inalagaan natin ang ating kasalanan, it will control us, mga kaibigan. Dahil nireject ng Diyos ang offering ni Cain, nagalit si Cain sa Diyos. At since hindi niya kaya patayin o paslangin ng Diyos, pinaslang na lang niya ang kanyang image bearer, which is si Abel. Clearly we see the enmity that God has placed between the woman and the serpent. Ayan, nakikita na po natin. Cain is the seed of the serpent at si Abel naman ang seed of the woman. Cain is the son of Satan and Abel is the son of the woman or son of God. Cain is the line of rebellion. Abel is the line of faith. That's happening in 1 John chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Nakita niyo yung enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. Tuloy-tuloy po yan. Ngunit, kahit pinatay ni Cain si Abel, see how God showed his mercy pa rin. Kay, look at verse 9. Kung papaano hinanap ng Diyos si Adan nung nagkasala siya sa Garden of Eden, ganun din ang ginawa ng Diyos kay Cain. Look at verse 9. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" He said, "I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?" Ang sinin ba kung gano'ng arahas ang sumagot sa Diyos? Yung tatay nga niya nung kinumpronta ng Diyos, nagturo eh. At least hindi siya nagsinungaling. Pero ito si Cain, nakakarapang nagsinungaling sa Diyos. At hindi niya nirespeto ang kanyang manglilikha. Pwede ba si Atre? Kasi yung babae yung binigay mo eh. Eh, si Cain, hey, nakakarapang kapatid mo. Oh, di ko lang. Anak ang bakang nawawala kapatid? What are natin niya? Hanapan ba ako ng mga bata? Di ba alam? In short, when he said, wala akong pakialam. Wala akong pakialam sa kapatid ko, wala akong pakialam sa iyo. Do you see yung moral decay na nangyayari dito because of sin? In short, wala siyang pakialam sa Diyos. Wala siyang pakialam sa kanyang kapwa. Walang pagmamahal sa tao, walang pagmamahal sa Diyos. So verse 11 to 12, God directly cursed sin again. Hindi gaya ng kay Adam, indirectly, God cursed the ground because of you. Di ba yung nangyari sa Panginoon? Pero pagdating kay Cain, you are cursed from the ground. Mas direct. Now, yung curse na ito, mabigat po kay Cain po. Bakit mismo? Bakit kamo? Kasi siya may magsasaka. Yun lang ang alam niya, magtanim. Yun ang kanyang pagkabuhayin doon sa nakakuha ng pagkain. Nung kay Adam, yung curse is may hirapan sa mag-anim, maghirapan sa mag-ani. Dito, wala siyang makukuha. The land is barren because of Cain. Or because of the presence of Cain. Pumunta siya rin, may abong ng mga puno rin. Pagdating doon, wala siyang tanim. Nandun siya. Mabigat kay Cain yun. No? At paano nag-respond si Cain? Hindi natin verse 13. My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me today away from the ground, and from your face I shall be hidden. That's really important. Face shall be hidden. In short, wala na ako sa presence ng Panginoon. If you're not in the presence of God, you're in danger. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer in the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. You know how he's responding here? He's responding with a hardened heart instead of a repentant heart. Yan, minsan kakaroon ng biruan, paano na Diyos siya, magsisi ka na, balik na sa Panginoon, bigyan ng biruan minsan, pero minsan totoo po yun. Dito, may palo, pero pinatigas niya lalo ang kanyang puso. But, see the Lord's patience and mercy pa rin sa kanya. Verse 15. The Lord said to him, "Not so!" Siligala na siya, kung sino makakita sa kanya, papatay siya. If anyone kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord put a mark on Cain, lest any who found him should attack. Teka, dalawa lang sila magkapatid nun. Well, there were multiple children, probably by this time, because nag-aalala na si Cain, na baka paghigad kaya ng kanyang kapatid. Ang kapatid nila. So, ang mark na binigay ng Diyos kay Cain was not a mark of disgrace. Instead, it's a mark of grace. Because of that mark, no one will harm him. No one will judge him dahil makikita yung mark ito. So this is what the working grace and mercy ng Panginoon sa buhay niya na isang liberte. Nakita niyo ba kung gano'ng kayaman sa grasya at awa ng Diyos? According to Derek Kidner, sa kanyang commentary ng Genesis, this is almost a covenant. It is the utmost that mercy can do for the unrepentant. End quote. God showed mercy and extended grace to Cain's unrepentance towards him. Mga kapatid, ano dapat ang postura ng ating puso sa mga taong nagkasala sa ano dapat ang postura ng ating puso sa mga taong nagkamali sa atin? Mayroon nandito ka ngayon, may mga taong nasinaktan ka, hanggang ngayon hindi mo mapatawad. Dahil grabe yung ginawa niya, Pastor. Apektado lahat ng napakadaming tao. Hindi alam kung gano'n sinira niya ang ating buhay. Mami, totoo po yun. And I'm sorry for that. But if you are a recipient of God's mercy and grace through Jesus Christ, then we should be like Christ by extending mercy and grace sa mga tao na kasakit sa atin. Mga tao na pinagtaksilan tayo, mga tao na niloko tayo, mga tao na inabando na tayo, mga tao na hanggang ngayon intentionally is attacking you in social media. Na kung saan araw-araw pumapasok ka sa opisina, walang ginawa ko, hindi ka chismisan ka. Na kung saan ang politika is against you. Friends, you are a recipient of grace. You are a recipient of mercy. Ito mo kung gano'ng kayaman ang grasya at ako ng Panginoon Tete na isang Duterte. Na tayo ay ganun din kung hindi na sa grasya at ako ng Panginoon. Then that should overflow sa atin. Hindi ba dapat ang desire natin sa kanila is that they too shall see the Lord's mercy and grace and turn to Him for salvation? Let us not be like Cain, na punong-puno ng galit at puot sa Diyos at sa kanyang kapwa. Na ang popular na mga tanong sa pag-aaral na ito is this. Saan ni Cain nakuha ang kanyang asawa? Maraming yung tanong po natin sa inyong mga Bible studies. Well, hindi nabanggit dito sa passage natin kung saan po nakuha ito. Pero maaari po, ito yung kanyang kapatid. Umaari ang kanyang pamangkin. Kasi sa Genesis chapter 5, verse 4, Adam and Eve had multiple children. They had many sons and daughters. So marahil, after a long span of time, doon siya po nakakuha ng asawa sa kanyang kapatid. So marahil, doon napasok sa isipan niyo ngayon yung pangalawang tanong. Hindi ba insesyon, Pastor? Pinakasala ng kanyang kapatid? Pinakasala ng kanyang pamangkin? No, not in this type. It was not genetically or morally prohibited, ito time na ito. Because God's command to Genesis 1:28 is to go and multiply fill the earth. And that command is directly given to male and female. At sino lang ba yung mga tao doon? Sila-sila. Of course, that ended, that's only for a season, that ended, that wakas po yan, it was formalized noong nilabas po ang Ten Commandments. Nahiya sila basa-basa ang kumuha ng kanyang asawa at isang kapatid nila. So verse 17 to 22, we see the line of Cain starting to grow. Pansin niyo pa yun ba? Ang haba ng mga accomplishment, kita-kita po natin. At kahit God banished Cain, evident pa rin yung mercy at grace ng Panginoon. Ito po yung tinatawag na God's common grace sa mga hindi mananampalataya. Ito yung God's common grace sa mga rebelde. Kasi hindi mo kung gano'ng pinayaman ng Panginoon ang lahi ni Cain. He built a city. Ito mo, gumawa siya ng parang isang Dubai. Dumami ang kanyang lahi, nagkaroon po ng syudad. Sa lahi ni Cain, there was a successful development. Nagkaroon ng animal breeding, naging successful yun, advances ng arts and science at saka medicine sa panahon niya. Pero ang focus ng line ni Cain, kung babasahin po natin yan, was not the scientific advances or the cultural achievements. Hindi po yung focus ng mga verses na ito. But the focus was the increasing spread of immorality and sin. Bagamat umano nagiging culturally modern sila, ganun din kataas ang immoralidad sa city na yun. Take for example the verses 23 to 24. Let me introduce a guy named Lamech. Lamech said to his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice. You wives of Lamech, listen to me what I say. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for striking me. If Cain's revenge is sevenfold, then Lamech is 77-fold. Sin was escalated sa pasalay ni Cain. It was marked by polygamy and violence. Bakit wala pa rin yung commandments dito? So, pero si yung commandments sa Genesis 1, di ba? Na Genesis chapter 2, na kung saan father would be a man would leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. So, one male, one female, that's marriage. Pero ito, dalawang asawa. You never hear or we never read na si Adam or si Eve tapos na nagkaroon ng asawa sa kanilang mga anak. No, they stayed together. So ito po yung relationship ito. So may polygamy. Dalawa ang kanyang asawa. At hindi lang po yun, this man is violent. Pinagmamalaki pa niya ang kanyang kasalanan. Pinagyayabang pa niya ang kanyang mga achievements na mali. Ganito na siya kalayo sa Panginoon. Dahan-dahan na nanamalayo sa Panginoon. At mga kaibigan, if dumadating na po tayo sa point na pinagtatawanan na natin at pinagmamalaki na natin ang ating kasalanan, then tunay na napapalayo na tayo sa Panginoon. Tunay na yung puso mo ay tumitigas na sa Panginoon. Kung wala ka ng pinakikinggan, kung wala ka ng pinakikinggan na kahit sinong tao na ginagalang mo, then matigas na ang puso mo. Kaibigan, there's hope. There is hope for you. There is hope for me. There is hope for all of us. God is extending mercy down kay Kilin at sa kanyang blind to hindi sa iyo. Sa iyo na nandito ngayong gabi. He sent his son Jesus to die on the cross and set us free from sin's slavery. The fall of man not only affected our worship, not only affected our morality, but also our mortality, which is number three in last. Mortality is definite. Ang kamatayan ay iyak. Throughout chapter 5, na kung saan binasa ni John kanina, at pinag-aralan niyo sa inyong CG, marahil siguro mapapansin ko niyo yung paulit-ulit na binabanggit. And that was intentional kung bakit binasa ni John yung mahabang part niya sa chapter 5 because gusto natin i-stress it kung bakit ito. So ano yung mga paulit-ulit na ito? Una, the person became my father, and tapos mapapansin natin nagkaroon mo siya ng mahabang buhay. Nakita niyo ba yun? Nandiyo rin mamanghas na mga matatandang nama na nakita niyo sa taas. 933, Adam. Seth, 912. Enos, 905. Kenan, 910. Mahalalel, 895. Jared, 962. Methuselah, 969. Lamech, 777. Wala kang kilalang tao kung 100 niyan. Kung meron man, nakarantay. Eto, 900, 700. Nabubukal pa siguro ng lupa. Ito, matindi. No? Pero meron tayong mapapansin kahit sa gaano kahaba ang buhay, ang kasunod lagi nun ay kamatayan. Namatay, 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 death, death, 8 times naliwanag, which means Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Death entered to the world through one man. And because of that, all died because of sin. Itong season ng pandemic, mga kaibigan, mas ramdam na ramdam natin ang decrease ng mortality. Increase ng decrease ng mortality natin. Pero mag-i-increase ang mga namamatay. Friends, we weren't created to die. The Bible is clear that death is not natural. It is not part of the world as originally created ng Panginoon. It is, death is referred as the last enemy. It is a result of sin that leaves us feeling hopeless, depressed. I know people who are going through in that process right now of grieving. And that's the right feeling. Death is not natural sa Minikano Diyos. There is hope. Ano po yung hope? Yung hope ay kita sa Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24. Sa Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24, it was mentioned, and let me read, Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Alam niyo yung passage sa chapter 4 where though Abel is dead, his blood screams out that yung lupa, nandun yung kayang dugo. So the question is, how is Jesus' blood speak better than Abel's? Well, first of all, both of them were betrayed. Diba? Both of them were murdered. Abel's blood cried out for justice. Jesus' blood cried out mercy. Forgive them, Father, for their sins. Abel's body and blood was absorbed by the ground. Jesus on the cross absorbed the wrath of God. Abel presented an acceptable offering or sacrifice, but can never kill sin, can never defeat sin, can never cleanse sin. Jesus' offering was better, bakit kamo? Because He is the ultimate offering. He willingly offered Himself as a sacrifice to pay the penalty of sins once and for all when He died on that cross. Abel was a victim of sin's doing. Jesus was a victorious one. He's victorious over sin and death when He rose from the grave on the third day. Friends, do not let your heart be hardened like Cain's. Repent from your sins and trust the promise seed, the promise Son, Jesus Christ, para sa ating kapatawaran, para sa ating kaligtasan. If you were to go back to Genesis 5:22 and Hebrews chapter 11 verse 5, there was one character that I mentioned, and his name was Enoch. Si Enoch hindi po namatay, but he was known as a person who walked with God, a man of faith, because he placed his faith in the promised Son. Friends, those who trust in the promised Son will never face eternal death. In conclusion, in verses 25 to 26, in verse 10 is a dark history. Genesis 4 is a dark history in 25 to 26. God's covenant mercy, however, was given when Eve gave birth to another son. At ang pangalan niya si Seth. Seth either means the appointed one, si umaasa pa rin si Eve na yun yun eh, yung prophecy, or the one who is replaced, which is kapalit ni Abel. Indicating that her faith in the Lord's promised seed and ongoing pare. Friends, in this fallen world, let us also hope for the return of the promised Redeemer. And when He comes, there will be perfect justice, perfect peace, perfect joy forevermore. But as of now, we must understand as we go through this walk in this fallen world, God's mercy is greater. Then saves me. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your mercies are new every day. Hearing your word gathered together with these people is indeed an indication of your mercy. We have sa akin, kung yung mercy sa mga tagapakinig, especially their first time, or they're returning, or for those who are not planning to come, this is your mercy to them. And I pray that they would receive the kindness of God, Jesus Christ, the memory, as they meditate on this word. In Christ's name, we pray. Amen.